Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to another Between Takes episode of Missing Frames. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. My Sundance 2020 coverage continues today with an interview with Frederica Migom, the writer and director of the film Benti. So let me give you a quick synopsis of what the film Benti is about. 12-year-old Benti and her father are undocumented immigrants from the Congo who have lived in Belgium since Benti was a baby. She aspires to be an online influencer, but their lives are upended when the refugee squat they're living in is raided by the Belgian police. While on the run, Benti meets Elias, a young boy who is working to save the okapi, the threatened forest giraffe, native to the Congo. When their parents meet, Benti realizes that a solution to her problems is right in front of her. All she needs to do is convince Elias's mom and her dad to get married, and that way, basically, they can stay in Belgium without having to be deported. I really loved this movie. It was not on my radar at all. What happened was, we'll kind of go into the story in more detail in the episode, but my dear friend Trisha Arand, who is with the Lessons from the Screenplay team, she actually met Frederica in line and through that was able to get me tickets to the screening for Benti. And I was completely blown away by the movie. Like, I knew nothing about it and I just loved it. It really, really won me over. And it's not really that much of a surprise that it ended up being one of the runners up for festival favorite film. So Frederica and I talk about where the ideas for Benti came from, why she wanted to tell this story, how she sought to humanize the issues surrounding immigration. We also discuss the kind of like condescending vibe some people have towards kids' films, how sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it was so good because it was a kids' film, and how frustrating that can be. If you want to learn more about Frederica and her work, you can do so at her website, fredericamigom.com. I could spell it out for you, but I'm lazy, so I'll just include a link in the episode description and you can check it out there. You can also follow her on Instagram at fredericamigom. But now that we've gotten all those details out of the way, let's get to the interview. Hope you enjoy.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Frederica, first of all, I'm sorry I'm butchering your name again, but I want to thank you for chatting with me about your wonderful film, Benti.
You're very welcome. And please don't worry about butchering my name. It's really okay.
Okay. It's not okay. I'm going to try so hard, but it'll be good. So here's what's funny. I had not heard about Benti, but you met my friend Trisha in a line for another movie. And you two started talking about that. That was basically how I learned about the film. And then I got tickets to see the movie. And sometimes that's the best way to see a movie, when you don't know what to expect. So I didn't know what to expect, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, it was funny because, I guess a lot of people don't know about the film because it's in the kids section, and a lot of people don't even know there is a kids section. So that's interesting. And then that line where I ended up in was also a total coincidence, because I had a ticket to see this film, but I had lost it, which happens, which is a bummer at Sundance because tickets are, you know, not so easy to get. And I had like one last voucher. And since I then was there, I was like, fuck it, I'll just use the voucher and go into the waiting line. And that's where I met your friend. Yeah. And then I realized I had tickets still to my own screenings. And I was like, hey, I should just hand them out to people, because otherwise it's really a shame.
It sounds like it was destiny that I was supposed to see this movie and we were supposed to have this conversation right now.
Absolutely, that's what it was.
So tell me a little bit about your career up to this point, because this is your first feature, right? You'd been making shorts before this?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff were you making?
I did three fiction and two documentary shorts. But yeah, I would say that I'm mostly a fiction director. I end up in documentaries every now and then, but I would say fiction is my thing, I think.
And when did you start kind of formulating the ideas for Benti? Like, when did it go from idea to script, and how long did that take?
I think that happened in like about 5 years ago. I think the whole process took about 5 years, and I started developing the first ideas when I had just gotten funding for my last fiction short. So I was still to shoot that one, which is good, I guess, because anyway, this writing process is so long that it's always helpful to get to shoot some things in between. But yeah, the whole thing was about 5 years. Yeah.
And do you remember what the first spark of the idea was for Benti?
Honestly, like, it's really difficult to remember that first initial spark. I really think there were like multiple sparks. There was one important spark that was simply the fact that our local government funding system had announced a very first brand new deadline for children's film. They had decided that the government has to fund one kid film a year, and this very first deadline was like boom, you know, 3 months from when they announced it, right? So that to me felt then very much like, oh, there's this new thing and I'm this young director and I feel ready to slowly sort of go into my first feature, and that's an opportunity because it's new and whatnot. So that's kind of a thing that I grabbed. And then my last fiction short was there was actually two shorts that I would say that influenced this film also. One was a short film that was set in a African hair salon in Brussels. It's about this white woman that kind of half accidentally walks into this salon after having a fight with her boyfriend on the street. And she finds herself surrounded by five women from various African countries, and they talk about womanhood. And so there was this kind of cultures coming together is something that has always fascinated me enormously. And so I had been really deep into it with that short and wanted to definitely do more with that. So that then, you know, became an important aspect to the film. And then I had also made a documentary. I had met this girl, a young 12-year-old rapper here in Brussels, just this girl who had kind of a difficult family situation, difficult childhood, and found relief in making rap songs. And I had started filming her somehow and befriending her. And I ended up making a short young audience documentary about her. But actually, this girl and the way she wanted to sort of claim her position in society, she taught me so much and she fascinated me so much that I continue to work with this idea of a girl who really is a hero because she has the courage to claim her space in society rather than wait for people to hand it to her. And that's then something that I really wanted to work around also. And that's basically, I guess, how Binti became a little hero. I wanted to really create this little heroine.
And so you had to... Essentially, because the movie follows these two kids, Benti and Elias. What was the process like trying to find these two kids and getting the perfect cast members for those parts?
We were a rather low budget film, so we had our castings were relatively limited. I saw about 100 kids per character, which really is not so much. And they were just the best, really. I mean, I did multiple rounds and had them play different things and put them together, and you know, and they were really just the best. And the boy who plays Elias, he's quite experienced. He had already done, comes from a family of actors. He had already done quite a few parts. So, and he was also a bit older than he looks. He was 12 at the time. And then she was actually only 9 at the time.
Wow.
Which made it really difficult for me to decide on her, because I thought that would be like deadly to cast a 9-year-old to play a 12-year-old.
Right.
But then I guess they kind of like balanced each other out that way. And then it turned out to be, yeah, I took the risk, I guess. And I'm happy I did, because she was by far the best of all the girls that I saw.
Do you remember what it was that kind of pushed you over the edge with casting? Is it Bebel? I'm so bad at pronouncing names. This is
Bebel.
Terrible. Bebel. Okay. Yes. Do you remember what it was that kind of finally pushed you over the edge and made you decide to cast her?
Well, two things. Firstly, when I eventually put these two kids together and had them come back for like the fifth time and actually have the both of them together, it was just that one. I remember I had kept saying, I don't want her. I don't want her. I don't want her. She's too young. She's too young. She's too young. And then I put the two of them together, and I remember I told my editor, who was also in Sundance with me, and I told her, I was like, she's so good. And the both of them, the energy they had together was just so good. And that's when I was not ready yet to admit it, but actually I knew. And then meanwhile, I had been casting dads, you know, and Binti's dad in the film is actually also her real life dad.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so then I guess at some point, he too, I had never expected him to get the part, but I also kept asking him back. And then he was actually the most sensible of all of the, I mean, you know, he had a sensitivity, an artist-like thing over him that I really, really liked. And then I realized that the both of them kept coming back, and then I put the both of them together, father and daughter, and then I was like, oh, well, I mean, I have to.
And yeah. he'd never acted before?
He had done like small parts, and I guess, I mean, he's a musician, so he acts in all of his music videos, you know, but like a carrying leading part in a feature film, that never, no.
Wow, so, he's so yeah. good. Everyone's so good in this movie. And what was it like setting up the, I don't want to spoil it, of course, because I don't know if people have seen it yet and they absolutely should see it. But there's a lot of stuff where Binti and Elias make little movies and it's so much fun. How much was that planned and rehearsed and how much of it was just letting them kind of goof off and have fun?
It was very planned. And it was very planned. I had written it out. It was not rehearsed, that no. But I had to, because we had a really tight shooting schedule. There was not a lot of space for me to test and play around. And, you know, it was all pretty like army-like shooting. So I had completely written out, I mean, completely, mostly in my mind, I had a lot of options, little things to do. I didn't also want to kind of give him that pressure of like, okay, so now you guys go ahead and make a video. Yeah. It's not that easy to make YouTube videos, you know, you kind of do have to write little scripts for them.
And where did the idea for the Okapis come from?
Well, I wanted a connection between Elias the boy and the dad, right? Because yeah. I wanted to sort of Binti and the mother kind of bond right away and Elias and the dad kind of bond right away. And so it was also very important to me to kind of show this not as like simply this kind of big, bad, evil country that they've run away from because it's so dangerous, but also kind of honor what the country also is, incredible rainforests and beautiful nature and a rich culture and whatnot. And the okapi is just a really mysterious animal that truly only lives in one single rainforest in the whole entire world. Oh, wow. In Congo. And so that is really fascinating. And then the fact that they're also really shy animals that very few people actually get to see in real life, to me then was a kind of a beautiful metaphor for Elias's personality. And then also the way they were discovered, quote unquote, by European colonizers, basically in Africa, and how they then claim kind of like the discovery of the okapi. All that then was a beautiful metaphor, allowed me to make metaphors or make links with the way Europeans kind of go to land and claim it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really an animal that then allowed a lot of layers, I guess. So
I love that. And I love the way you kind of tied it into the whole theme of immigration. And I remember you mentioned during the Q&A following the film, you don't give a specific reason why Binti and her dad had to leave the Congo and why that didn't matter. But it's a very beautiful story and you really humanize this issue, because I think a lot of times when it comes to issues, people sort of look at them on a surface level. We're only seeing what we see on the news and we don't necessarily empathize with these issues in a human way. And I love the way that with this movie you managed to do that. What was that like, just kind of working that sort of storyline into the film, and how important was it for you to do that?
I wanted to find a way to make this kind of subject indeed kind of approachable and decriminalize it, because yeah, it's often they're news items, you know, but we indeed in the kind of news itemness of all these things, we forget that especially the kids, you know, they are really just kids and they go to school. And to me, coming from, you know, Europe that is quote unquote a welfare state, or Belgium that is a welfare state where people are supposed to be taken care of by the government, all kids have to go to school, even if you don't have legal documents. The irony of educating a child of having a child that spends their whole life in this country, to then lock them up and send them back is just so absurd. Yeah, and I guess taking this one element and showing it from the point of view of the child allows a lot more humanity, or makes it easier to show that human side and that kind of innocent child side. I think it then hits harder because don't touch the children, you know? Mm. Like, if y'all want to have these problems, then fine, but don't touch the children. That's not fair.
I agree. I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's beautiful that you, I mean, you talk about how this was in the kids section of Sundance, but in a way, making a family film makes it more accessible. And it's a way to get this issue out there. And almost like, I think sometimes people feel it's almost threatening when you start talking to them about like, oh, it's this or that. But when you're able to make it in an accessible way as a family film, suddenly you've kind of snuck into you kind of kick open the door in a way that's really like friendly without making it too obvious, I guess, or too apparent. And I love that. I think it came across really strongly in the film.
Thank you. It was also a really big risk. You know, I think it was my biggest fear also in making this film. I mean, the countless times that I think, like, you know, there was always this risk of, in making this film lovingly and playful, am I going to disrespect the seriousness of the matter going on? And I think that was a very, very difficult balance to find, and often quite scary, as in what if I don't manage and people are just going to find it disrespectful, you know? So I'm glad that it worked.
Well, how did you find that balance? Because you absolutely pull it off. The movie is fun and it's heartwarming and it's sweet and it's hilarious. And then it's also very, at times, solemn and it's very serious. How did you find a way to strike that balance?
Well, I guess, I mean, when you look at a lot of the Disney animated films, they're quite rough also, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, maybe because it's animation, you can go a bit further in the horrors because it's, you know, people identify with it less or something. I don't know. But I kind of thought I shouldn't be afraid to be true either, because kids can handle quite a lot. Especially, this is reality for a lot of kids. So, like, we shouldn't try and make things fluffier than they really are. Well, no, actually, I take that back, because that's what I did make it fluffier than it is. But, like,
but fluffy,
I didn't want to lie.
Fluffy in a sincere way. It's sincerely fluffy, not like fake fluffy.
Exactly. Like, I didn't want to lie, and I didn't want to. I think if you give a kid enough love, it can handle things. So every suffering that I would show, I felt like I had to also compensate it with showing warmth and love and hope. Honestly, I think that's often something that counts for adults also. But I guess with kids, there's just no way that you can make this kind of film and then have the people fly off in the end and have the and be sad. You can't do that to a child, you know. Then it loses hope. And a child should have hope, even if the world is a nasty place.
Did bringing the film to Sundance, I mean, and also I forgot to say this at the beginning, but congratulations on being a runner up for like festival favorite. That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that was a thing. Well, that's really nice. And that maybe then shows and how much people do kind of want to see hope in the end, right?
The film is clearly resonating with audiences, which I wanted to ask you about, because the tough thing is bringing a kid's film that's a foreign film to America and distribution for some, I don't even know where you'd begin with, you know, a film with subtitles trying to market that to kids. But what was it like bringing it to Sundance and getting the space to put it in front of US audiences?
Great, to be honest, because I mean, it had been touring, doing festivals and schools and whatnot in Europe for about a year. So it was actually already kind of out there. And I had always thought like, oh, I don't know, the US, they don't seem to want it, you know. I have gotten very little response from the US, and there was, you know, I thought, oh, maybe they don't like that kind of stuff. I don't know. So it was
they don't like reading
surprise.
Subtitles.
Well, I know that they don't like reading subtitles. That's a fact. But then I also maybe thought, I don't know. Maybe it's true that it took a while. I mean, it took about a year to, I guess, get an American festival. But then I didn't even know Sundance had a kids section. So when I got the phone call about Sundance, I was completely like, I was in disbelief, you know?
Well, it's great because, again, it felt, you could feel the energy and you could feel the audience kind of like being won over by the movie. You know, we're all sitting there and we're kind of like, what is this? What's going on? And I don't know if you could feel that too being there. I don't know if you sat and watched it, but there was this kind of energy as the audience started to connect with the movie. And feeling everybody kind of hop on board and really embrace it was great for me as an audience member. I can't imagine how exciting that was for you as a filmmaker, making the movie and seeing people love it.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, of course, it's nice to have good reactions to it. There's not a lot of people who don't like the film. I guess the film is very likable, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who will be like, oh, you know, it's a cute little film, whatever, which is typical, I think, for kid films.
You know what, though, like Pixar movies like Toy Story and things like that, those are quote unquote cute, but also very meaningful and embraced. And
exactly.
I think Binti, it's the same thing. There's this kind of condescending nature when we talk about kids films that I think Completely. Is ridiculous. I think some of the best movies I've ever seen are kids films. So
I think so too. And well, but it's really funny sometimes to see people talk about it, but then because also people then will kind of come up to me and, you know, adults still then come up to me and be like, I even cried, as if like, that's like, oh my God, your film even made me cry. Like, as
how do you react?
Far from what they expected, you know?
How do you react to something? That's kind of condescending, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I tell them good, you know? Yeah, well, you know, what can I tell them? It's just the way it is. But then in the end, most people end up liking the film a lot. So, you know, I can only be happy with that, I guess.
So does this Sundance thing, getting that kind of push from Sundance, does that help at all, getting you a wider release, maybe an American release, or is it still kind of a struggle to make that happen?
I'm not sure where it's going with the American release. I'm sure they're working on it. That's not always something that I'm completely up to date of. What I did definitely notice that getting accepted into Sundance makes it a lot, like all of a sudden this film that is exactly the same film is a realer film because of it, you know. It does lift it up to some kind of level.
Yeah.
Which is ironic somehow, because you're like, well, you know, the film is still the same film. you know, since it's not a premiere, I kind of had like, yeah, I did kind of have a like before and after Sundance thing. But then, I mean, the film did quite well before also. I think what might change is that we will now get accepted. I mean, I've noticed now of the festivals that are coming up that there are more non-kid film festivals. So I guess before, we've done a lot of festivals, we've won a lot of awards, but they've all been kid film festivals. Whereas now I feel like maybe there will be some not specifically kid film festivals also that might show interest. I think going to Sundance is always good. So we'll see what the actual consequences are. I hope for me the actual consequences might be, if I get to shoot a Disney film after this, I'd be very happy. That would definitely be then because of Sundance. So let's hope, you know.
But this is good. I mean, I hope it works out for you too. I was going to ask you, like, I know you mentioned at the Q&A that kids' films aren't necessarily where your focus is, but what kind of stories do you want to tell and what projects are you hoping to work on in the future?
Well, I think I always have kind of what interests me is very much characters and human stories. It's often kind of about finding your place in society. And so kid film as such is not indeed, like, I wouldn't exclusively be like, I just want to do kid films. Often the stories will end up that way because that's also kind of childhood is a fascinating time, you know? I mean, it's often very human stories and it's often about characters trying to find or claim sort of their place in society. And it's often also things that fascinate me as elements within our society that I find difficult to believe, to understand better, that I need to research and stuff. And that then, that fascination drives me to making a film about these things. To me, I suppose making films is kind of a study of the human race, I guess.
No. Yeah, to me, art and film especially is like a great empathy generator, and it helps you relate to things you might otherwise not have thought about. Like, and Binti is such a great example of it, because you're able to fit this kind of story about immigration and kind of breaking down the issue and saying, like, look, it's more than just an issue. It's a very human thing that we should be paying attention to. And I think you do a great job of that. And I want to see more from you. I hope this opens the doors for you to be able to make more stuff.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I'm working on it. So, you know, let's see.
So I have one more question for you. I have a podcast called Missing Frames. And on it, we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. Is there a movie that you know you should have seen, like a classic or any film that people keep telling you you need to see?
I'm sure there are many. I find those questions so hard. You have to prepare me for those questions.
I'm sorry.
Oh, bloody hell. there's a lot of classics I should still see. Gotcha. You know, the Fellinis and the Bergmans and all those
guys. I'm a big Bergman fan. Have you seen The Seventh Seal?
No. Okay, there you go. You can put that one on the...
That's cool. A good one to see. Perfect. We did it. Thank you so much. And also, I guess if people want to find you on the internet, if they want to follow you and your work, where can they find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram. Social media-wise, I think Instagram I'm most active on. I have a website, I guess, in case people would want information or that kind of stuff. It's just Frederica Migo, my name and last name. And Instagram is the same, just my name and last name. Follow me.
Follow Frederica and pronounce her name correctly.
It's okay.
Well, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure chatting with you. I sincerely love the movie. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much.